Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is.
Thank you, Russell. What do you do? That is a question that we will all have been asked at some time or another. Perhaps it's a question we're quite often asked. We meet someone for the first time, and they will ask us, or we will ask them, what is it that you do? What do you work as? And it's a question that is also sometimes asked of me. What do you do? And when I tell people that I am a minister, there are a variety of reactions. Sometimes people are interested and ask more, but often it is followed by a kind of an awkward silence and a changing of the subject quite rapidly. The other comment that I used to get, but I don't get so often these days, is, you're awfully young to be a minister. So see, it doesn't seem to happen so much these days, and I have no idea why. In these verses in Colossians, Paul is, in a sense, answering that question of himself. For part of what he is doing is explaining to the readers, to the people in Colossae, and to us, what he does, what his passion is, what the passion in his life is, what he has devoted his life to doing. And what was his passion? Well, much of his passion was, as he explains, to introduce people to Jesus. So he says in verse 25, I have become its, that is the church's, servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. And then he goes on, I have been chosen along with the rest of the Lord's people, he says, to make known among the Gentiles, that is the non-Jewish people in the world, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one that we proclaim, he says, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the power that Christ so powerfully works in me. And you get a sense there of his passion. This is what I've been called to do, to make Jesus known through his word. If you were here last week, you'll realize that last week you'll remember, hopefully, that we were thinking about the passage before this, where Paul has just written about the supremacy of Jesus. That it was through Jesus that the world was made, that he holds the world together, that he died and rose again, that we might be forgiven and made blameless in God's sight. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is everything. He holds everything together. He is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And Paul goes on and says, well, because Jesus is so amazing, my desire is that all people would come to know this Jesus for themselves and walk in obedience to him. Just as in our own day, many people in Paul's day did not know God's word. Many people did not know this Jesus who had lived and who had died and who had risen. And Paul realized that if they were without Jesus Christ, then they were missing out on something amazing, and that they were living ultimately without hope. For only through Jesus could they have forgiveness. Only through Christ could they have eternal life. Only through Christ could they have the hope of glory. Only through Christ could they have life in all of its fullness. And so Paul wanted to share this Jesus. Why wouldn't you? So that they might receive the treasures that Jesus could offer. And as you read the book of Acts, which is always a good thing to do, the book of Acts tells in part some of Paul's travels and his work. And as we read some of these chapters, then actually you see this happening in Paul's life. For he was someone who went from place to place and he would point people to Jesus. And people's lives were changed. He revealed to them the mystery that was Jesus Christ born for them. And lives were changed. There's one chapter in particular where we are told that he visited a place called Philippi. And he was later to write a letter to the Philippians, Philippi. And in that place, there were three people that he introduced to Jesus Christ. Three very different kinds of people. In that place, there was a lady called Lydia. Lydia was a successful lady, and she kind of had a business of her own. But it becomes clear that there was something missing in her life, and she was trying to find meaning. She was seeking God, but nothing had satisfied her. Nothing had clicked into place. And she meets Paul on the Sabbath, and what does he do? He introduces her to Jesus, the Son of God who had died for her. And he opens up this new world for her, and her life is changed. But also in Philippi, he meets a slave girl. A slave girl who had been abused all her life, probably. And she lived a pretty desperate life, and a sad life, and a hopeless life. But Paul rescues her. And he tells her of this Jesus who loves her, yes, even her, and who had given his life for her, and she too was changed. Before, she'd had a life of hopelessness, a life where she'd never really known love, and now she did. But also in that place there was a jailer. A jailer who had actually jailed Paul and put him into prison. Now jailers in these days were pretty rough people. You didn't get into that kind of job if you were a bit of a softie like me. There would have been little mercy in his bones. Not a prime candidate if you were looking to share Jesus with anyone. And yet Paul was imprisoned in his jail. And in the night time he heard Paul and his pals singing. Not football songs or rugby songs, but singing praise to God. And then when they escaped from prison, it's a bit of a long story, Paul comes back to him. And the jailer says to him, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, "Believe in Jesus Christ." He points him to Jesus Christ. And this hard, possibly merciless and godless man was changed in an instant. And his whole family with him. And that very night, he's baptized. Just three people in one chapter, in one place, where Paul introduced the people to Jesus and whose lives were changed. But for Paul, that wasn't the end. Because he didn't just want to introduce people to Jesus and for them to trust in Jesus, but he also wanted them to grow in their faith, that they might be presented as fully mature. As fully mature in Christ. In chapter 2, some of the words that Russell read for us, he goes on and he speaks of his hope for the people in a place called Laodicea. And he says, "My goal is, now that they know Jesus Christ, my goal is that they might be encouraged in heart, that they might be united in love, and that they might have complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." He wants them to be encouraged. He wants them to be united or knitted. That's kind of a literal word. Knitted together in love. And that they would have complete understanding. That they wouldn't just be content with what they already knew, but that they would grow to know Christ better, to know God better, so that they might follow him better. So that they might be a community that God would have them be. And that was his passion. That people would know Jesus Christ. That people would grow in their faith. So that when the storms came, when the troubles came, that they would be able to stand firm. And in fulfilling this passion, Paul talks of how he was willing and ready to endure suffering. For to do this for Paul, it didn't come easily. It wasn't just a simple walk in the park. It entailed suffering. It entailed persecution. It meant imprisonment, times of failure, times of despondency, when people rejected his pleas and rejected him. And he makes reference to it in verse 24. He says, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. Then in verse 29, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I've got to work hard at it. And he's writing this very letter while in jail. Right at the end of the letter, he signs off with these words. He says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. And then he says, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Remember my chains. I don't know about you, but I don't like a struggle. I don't like suffering. The temptation when things get a bit tough is to throw in the towel and to pass the job on to someone else who is harder than I or harder than you, or simply to leave it undone. But for Paul, he carried on with the power that Christ gave him. For he saw that Jesus was good news. News that deserved to be spread, that needed to be spread. Because it had eternal significance. And he's prepared to suffer for it. And he was prepared to even die for it. If it meant that more people would be pointed to Jesus. If it meant that more people would grow mature in Jesus Christ. Now, how does all this apply to us? Well, it might apply to us in a couple of ways. Firstly, Paul's passion was that people might come to know what he refers to as the mystery of Jesus Christ that has now been made known. His passion was that people might know forgiveness and a relationship with God. And I suppose one of the questions that brings about is, well, has that happened to you? Have you been introduced to Jesus and put your trust in him? Like Lydia, like the slave girl, like the jailer. Like the others that Paul introduced to Jesus and whose lives have been changed. Have you been introduced to Jesus? To who he is in all of his glory and splendor and power? Have you been introduced to all that he has done for you, to the fact that he has died for you, that he has risen from the dead for you? Do you know him as your friend, as your Savior, as your King? Have you received his forgiveness, his peace, the assurance of his presence? And if you have, are you growing in your faith? Are you becoming increasingly mature in Christ? That was Paul's desire. That was what he was yearning for. That we would see the Saviour and follow him. For there is nothing more important in all the world than knowing Jesus Christ, than following Jesus Christ. But there's also another application. And it's an application that is to those of us who are Christians, and perhaps especially for those of us who are in positions of leadership in the church. For it clarifies for us what our ultimate aim as Christians and leaders ought to be. For our aim is to make the Word of God fully known so that people might know Jesus Christ and the hope of glory. Our aim is to present everyone mature in Christ Jesus. As I say, this is probably a particular challenge to those of us in positions of leadership, whether that is as ministers or Sunday club leaders or holiday club leaders or dynamite leaders or whatever it is, whatever service we play in the church. What is our passion in what we do with the adults, with the young folks? Well, our passion is that Jesus Christ would be known. That Jesus Christ would be followed. That Christ would change people's lives through us. But surely it's also something that applies to each of us, whatever roles we play in life, as we think about our children, or our grandchildren, or our nephews, or nieces, as we think about our workmates, if we have workmates, as we think about our neighbours, if we ever speak to them. What is our goal, what is our passion to be for the people that we meet, that we share with every day? Paul's passion would have been, I want that person to know Jesus Christ and the difference he can make to their lives. I want these people to grow as Christians so that they might be fully mature. For you see, there is nothing better than seeing people come to know Jesus. And there is nothing better than seeing people grow in their faith. Do we have that passion at all? Are we ready to work for it? Are we ready to suffer for it? Are we ready to labor for it? That through our leadership, that through our lives, that we might point people to Jesus and make him fully known. This guy called C.T. Studd, who I've quoted before, he was a cricketer, played for England, but we'll forgive him for that, long time ago. But as well as being a cricketer, he was a Christian, and he became a missionary. And he has got some very quotable quotes. And he talks a lot about sharing Jesus Christ with others. Because he was passionate about it. One of his quotes is this: some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Yeah? I don't want to just stay close to in a safe kind of cocoon. I want to go out there to the hard places and I want to point people to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus can change their lives. On another occasion, he said this. It's quite thought-provoking. Well, I find it thought-provoking. Let us not glide through this world and then slip quietly into heaven without having blown the trumpet loud and long for our Redeemer Jesus Christ. Let us see to it that the devil will hold a thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field of battle. Let us see to it that the devil will hold a thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field of battle. Why? Because we are people who are pointing people to Jesus. Blowing the trumpet loud and long for our Redeemer. What is our passion in life? May our passion as a church be that we would introduce people to Jesus. Point them to him. Tell them of what he's done for us. And that we would grow to maturity in him together. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for Paul and for his passion that people would know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who had given himself for them. We give thanks for his passion that people would grow in their faith and become mature followers of Jesus. As he looked outside his window, he saw a broken world. As he saw different people, he saw people who needed a Savior, who needed a Lord, and he wanted to tell them of this Savior and this Lord. And we pray that you would give us that same passion, that same desire to share Jesus with those folks that we know. Through the way that we live, through the things that we say, when the opportunities arise. Give us that passion, that desire to point people to Christ and the difference he can make to them. Not just for today, but for all eternity. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.